Guess.
Society is built on scarcity. That there is not enough.
Say that part again. What's...
Well, go ahead.
No, no, sorry, what did you say? I didn't catch it.
Scarcity. Our society is based upon and built upon scarcity. And scarcity is the attitude that I don't get what I want. And the whole society is based upon that. You can see, in fact, what was happening in the feudal times or in Eastern Europe, the serfdom, was that the guy who had a daddy who built a castle needs to maintain that castle in order for him to feel safe. In fact, if you'd walk out of the castle and take a nice hike, long hike, he'd feel safe.
Yes.
But the castle needs to be maintained, which means you need an army, or at least a squadron, to maintain the castle. In order to maintain your squadron, you got to send them out to rob and thieve off of the people who are trying to hide their food to keep you from getting it. All right. Now, even though that's the description of what happened in feudal times, is that not exactly what's happening today? That people want a great big house.
Oh, yeah.
Feel safe. When they get safe, when they get the big house, now they recognize they're owned by the house.
Yeah.
So they got to maintain the house.
Or the other one is, I'll be happy once I'm retired. And then I'll have my pension fund that I can access, which I've been saving for the last 40 years.
Mm-hmm. And yet people could save up enough and retire. I wasn't very good at it. In fact, the way that I described it at one time is that I'd retired 4 times. So I was getting pretty good at it. Finally took.
When did you first retire?
Pardon?
When did you first retire?
I started retiring. I got fired from a job at ComSys and started teaching at Detroit Institute of Technology. And that was the beginning of the retirement, is working part-time. And yeah. Then I started going to India during that time when school was out, which meant, you know, months at a time. In fact, I was out of the place a couple of years. I was out of the place before final exams.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody got a grade and we didn't have exams. And I was gone. And then yeah. I'd show up the last day of registration. First day of classes.
Right.
And so it was a process, but that was, I retired mainly in India, and then I took a job in Saudi Arabia for a year, and then I retired from that. And I stayed retired for quite a long time. So that was basically it. Just keep retiring. Go back when you have to go back. You see, life is a swinging door. It's not a one-way trip. You can do what you want to do now and then do something else later.
But whatever you do, well, whatever state you're in, okay, let me put it this way. The Buddha, did he have bad days?
Well, the days are okay. It's us that call the day bad. Just calling it a day a bad day doesn't make it a bad day. Then, in fact, if 7 billion people are on the planet Earth, about half of them are going to say the day is bad, and about half of them want to say, no, it's not a bad day. So how can the day itself be bad?
Well, So why wouldn't he, like, after he realized what he realized, why didn't he go back and enjoy the life of being of the royal family, but with the knowledge that he had attained? Why did he have to leave such an austere life?
I'm not sure even there's an answer to that question. I guess he was, he could see that going back to that kind of life still has struggle to it. It still has wants and desires. It's built into the package, built into the system.
Because the more that, with what you've taught me so far, all I seem to, you know, and I'm not giving myself a hard time over it, but it just appears that it is just so hard it feels hard to put yourself in a pleasant mood, right? It seems most of my day, if I'm conscious, you know, once I'm awake, 16 hours of my day, 20 hours of my day, most of it, my mind's just going up and down. It's fretting, it's worrying. And it's like, and then I'll catch it.
I see,
but then the process of then trying to get myself back on a, you know, just be happy.
You want too much. Why don't you just recognize that you're okay? Yeah. Whatever problem that I created is not a problem right now. Whatever work I've got to do is not a problem right now. That I'll get around to it. In fact, I used to have one. It's about this big.
What's that?
Around to it. It's a to it. It was a round one. And when I get around to it,
so is it as simple as that?
It's as simple as that.
Just catching Mara. But what about boredom?
Aha, I see you, boredom. Wow, would I rather be bored right now or just enjoy doing nothing? That's your choice. Boredom means you want something you don't have. Boredom is the same thing as restless. You're restless for something. Aha, I see that I don't even know what it is, but I need that. I want something.
Mm.
Wow, it's hard to get it if you don't know even what it is.
Yeah.
Now, there's a whole also an issue that is a more modern topic would be called time structuring. How do you structure your time? And you can structure your time any way that you want to.
Well, this is what happened to me last Sunday. You know, I had nothing to do. Like, there was no chores. There was no work.
How marvelous.
But
and you chose boredom.
I know, and I could see myself. I caught it, but the feeling wouldn't go.
The feeling what?
I caught the boredom.
Mm-hmm.
But the feeling wouldn't leave me; it was still there.
I see you again. Okay. I see you again. It wasn't there. It came back. You saw it. And while you were seeing it, it went away. And then it came back and you saw it again and you thought, and you're telling me that it was there all along. Oh no, things are temporary. Things move in and out.
But what should one do? Like when you've got...
You don't have to do anything except see that the boredom itself is just the thought of I'm bored. Which is actually a victim. You're a victim to something and you don't even know what it is that you're a victim to.
But should you, I mean, when you have a day where, you know, is there a, what should you, like when you have days like that, what is
No, it's not a day like that. It's a moment like that.
But how should one spend...
It didn't happen all day.
But how should you spend your time?
You don't have to worry about spending your time. You're not going to be planning on being productive anyway. The job that needs to be done is stop looking for jobs to do. Just be okay the way you are. You don't have to accomplish a thing. Then whatever your hand finds to do, you can do it beautifully because you're just enjoying doing what you're doing in the moment without a goal. And boredom actually has a goal someplace in it. You just don't even know what the goal is, but there's a goal in there someplace.
Well, I ended up listening to music and reading a book.
What about music?
I ended up listening to music.
Okay.
And reading a book. To try and occupy my time.
Okay. So you can occupy your time any way you want to. But when you're bored, that means that you're occupying your time in dissatisfaction. So find something satisfying to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Or find something satisfying to not do. You don't have to do stuff to be satisfied. You can sit and do nothing and be satisfied. Take a deep breath and relax. Wow, I'm glad I don't have anything to do right now.
Yeah.
But that didn't come up in the boredom.
No.
But that would be, oh, wow, I don't have anything to do. Isn't that marvelous? I don't have to do anything. But you were raised in a society that taught you scarcity, and you've got to go get whatever is scarce. There's not enough. Not enough time, not enough food, not enough money, not enough women, not enough of this, that, and the other thing. And here you are with time on your hands and you're bored because you're not out doing, you're not productive, you're not getting anything done.
And that's
so you're hard on yourself when in fact there's nothing to do. The planet Earth would be a whole lot better off if people weren't out digging, programming, constructing, and everybody just sit down and did the minimal amount. Planet Earth would be much better off.
So what did the Buddha do? Like when he was hanging out with his group, what did they do? Like, did they just...
Didn't do anything.
Did they just chill out and relax?
They would just chill out and relax. In fact, there's stories about some noble or some king on various occasions would come to visit the Buddha, and there everybody was just sitting and hanging out, not talking, not chatting, just chilling.
Wow. It sounds like he was living in ecstasy.
Well, if you're chilling, isn't that ecstasy enough?
Yeah.
Why do you have to have something special? Why can't the middle path be your way? Everything's just ordinary, everything's good enough.
Yeah. All right, I'll try and put that into it. Usually, it usually comes on a Sunday. I don't know why. Sunday, it feels like, I guess.
Well, every other day you're out busy doing something. You're too busy to even think about what's happening in your mind. And on Sundays, you come around and you get bored. But now you can recognize that you can begin to look at what's happening in your mind no matter what you're doing throughout the week. You can look to see what the mind is doing. Say, ah, I can take a break right now.
But is there a certain environment you need to feel like this consistently? Because I'll tell you what, like, I notice when, like, food, for example, if I overeat, or if I, you know, I get lazy, I get lethargic, right? Or if I don't have enough sleep, I get lazy, lethargic. If I work too hard, I get very tired.
You don't have to work very hard or too hard to get tired. You get tired anyway. So if you're tired, rest.
But to have the energy to sustain this good feeling about that.
Well, maybe because you're working too hard at it. In the beginning, it takes some right effort. But imagine that you were pushing a child on a swing. To get the child moving, that first couple of feet back and forth takes effort. You got to push her. The kid weighs 100 pounds. You're pushing her against gravity. But once the swing gets going, now it just takes a slight little push, just an easy push. If you stop pushing, she'll come back to the rest. And now it takes a lot of effort to get her going again on the swing. So while she's swinging, or while you're out swinging in your life, just put a little effort in. Just a little effort to keep it going.
Yeah. Don't have to do too much.
Yeah, don't do too much. Just a little. In the beginning, it takes a little work. Same thing with the teenagers that are pushing a broken down car. To get it started, to get it rolling, you have to work really hard to get it to push. But after it's rolling, now it's an easy journey.
And you said something in one of your videos about you get to this point where you're just, you said something about having delight in the Dharma, or it becomes playful.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Well, you start to enjoy what you're doing. You begin to become playful. Everything is okay. Everything is easy enough. You begin to play with it. And in fact, the example that I would use is that kids who are in primary school work really hard, especially if they don't get a recess. They need a recess. But when they come back into school, they work really hard. And if they keep working really hard, then they'll be in graduate school or even getting a PhD, and now they've got all of this knowledge. What I would rather do is be in play school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who needs a PhD?
Yeah.
Just be playful. Do what you're going to do, delighted. And this is not, it's a matter of skill, but the skill is an attitude. The attitude that everything is easy, everything's a piece of cake. Just keep at it. Just keep playing with it. No goals in mind. Instead of looking at what you're going to do, just recognize that you've gotten already a lot done. You've already got it done. Isn't it nice?
Yeah.
Let it be playful. But the work, the right effort, is because of the attitude that you've had that everything is a struggle. And so now you have to struggle through life. And when you can catch that, aha, I see I don't have to struggle, then you can stop the struggle. And that takes a bit of effort. But once you get that going, then you can say, aha, I see that, and that's the end of it.
Did you need to be to go down this path? Do you need to be celibate?
No, you don't need to be celibate. You need to stop thinking that somebody else is going to fix your problems. That women can be beautiful, but you don't want them. If you've got one, then take care of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Western mind is way too much hung up on sex, to where the teaching of the Buddha is all about freedom, not restraining or abstaining or abshubha, which is seeing repulsiveness in it, but rather just see the women are dangerous for men, and men are dangerous for women. Why? Because they want something they'll never get. Sex is just a biological thing. It's a trick of nature. Nature's played a dirty trick on you.
But it can be an enjoyable experience.
Well, it can be a joyful experience, but the pursuit is not so joyful. You've seen that in the book of the Declaration of Independence. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Basically, what they should be saying is life, liberty, and the happiness of pursuit. Life, except that pursuing is not happy. And the pursuit of happiness is always a failure, because the pursuit itself is miserable. So the pursuit of happiness never gets fulfilled. It's always a pursuit, looking for, and what we're looking for is something we don't have. Why don't we just sit down and enjoy what we've already got? You've got enough already.
Yeah.
Retire right now, again.
I just want to, like, I listen to you and I look at you. I just want to be like you. You seem so chilled out all the time.
Well, don't want to be chilled out. That's what we were talking about on today's talk of desiring desirelessness. Don't desire to be chilled out. Say, hot dog, I can be chilled out right now. Right now is all I can chill out. Don't know about the future, but I'm going to practice being chilled out right now. You're chilled out enough. Except that you're okay. You're chilled out enough. You're all right.
If I didn't, you know, if I didn't know anything else about Buddhism except for what you've taught me, is that enough?
Yes. In fact, I talk too much.
Because, you know, you because I think of
you
the
just have to keep doing it over and over and over again.
Yeah. I think because of the algorithms, you know, in YouTube, every time I get all these different videos from Buddhist teachers all over the world coming in on YouTube. And you know, they're like, you've got to, you know, you have to learn this sutta, that sutta. And I'm like, and then I'll catch myself.
They're not really saying that. In fact, generally when you hear a monk doing a sutta, he's doing it because he likes doing it.
Yeah.
And you like hearing the sutta, like he enjoys talking about it. And that's all there is to it. This is an enjoyable moment.
Yeah. But everything that I do prevents me from enjoying this. Like, my mind just will try everything it can possibly do.
And when you see that, you can say, aha, I see you trying to do all of that stuff. Aha, I can see that. That's the way to put a stop to it, is by just right out loud saying, aha, I see that. Give life a little chuckle. Give that mind of overactivity a little chuckle. Aha, I see that.
So this means that less and less you will be
uptight,
doing things out of just the reaction
out of need and necessity, because you don't need and you don't, and there's no necessity, so you're going to be doing a whole lot less and less. That was one of the first questions you asked. Why didn't the Buddha go back to the world? The answer was because he didn't see any need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was too much work. Rather just sit and chill.
So the Buddha just enjoyed sitting and chilling.
Yeah, that's all. And you can enjoy sitting and chilling too, after you stop calling it boredom.
Yeah. So can I ask, you know, the days where, you know, time when you've got, you know, your own time, what do you do? Like, do you just relax and just...
Well, we're doing the website.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing is vetting data, which means that I'll open a page of a particular place, and then I'll cut and paste the name of it, and then I'll paste it into Google and paste it into YouTube and see if they've got a video, or see if they've got a Facebook, or see if they got an address or whatever like that, and then I paste it. And when I get enough data on a particular place, then I'll...
Mm-hmm.
Then I'll add that to the database and then get another one. One after the, another after another. Easy but apart, enough.
But apart from that, like if say for example, if I was to come around and see you, like in Thailand, would you just be chilling? Like, I know you've got your stuff you're doing, but apart from that, are you...
I don't do much of anything.
Yeah.
I rest. I pet the dog. I pull ticks.
And does your mind ever try and... Have you gone past this point now where your mind doesn't say you should be doing more? Or...
Well, how about this? You live in Melbourne, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Melbourne. Yeah, I've been there, done that.
What's that? Say that again.
Yeah, Melbourne. Oh, yeah, I've been there, done that. Bangkok. Oh, yeah, I've been there, done that. Oh, India. Yeah, I've been there, done that. Oh, San Francisco. Yeah, I've been there, done that.
Mm.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Satisfied that it's done. Don't have to do it again.
There's nothing more to do.
There's nothing left to do. So I enjoy doing what I piddle around doing.
Okay, so this is where we're getting to the heart of things, Dhammaratno, right? When I'm 50 years old now, right? When I was in my 20s, this is when I was back living in England. This was the height of the rave scene. People used to go out a lot and just dance all night.
Yeah, and they were looking for something.
And they used to take all these drugs and all of that sort of stuff, right?
Looking for something.
Yeah.
Well, I've looked for all of that stuff and found that there was nothing there, nothing to it.
But I, when I speak to my friends who were around that time, we often used to say that used to be one of the best years of our lives because it felt freedom. We were free.
You'll go back and do that and you'll recognize now you're too smart. You're too wise for that.
Exactly. I can't do it now.
Right. That we, those were the best years because we were so stupid.
But it was such a great feeling. I feel like I'm always searching for that feeling.
Yeah, well, you were searching for that feeling back then. And it's quite common. I mean, look at the MAGA idea. Make America great again. Make me great again. You never were great.
Yeah.
But we have the golden past, the golden years, you know, trying to recover something that was never there in the first place. And when we give up on that and say things are good enough, yeah, the golden age never happened. And that's okay. Never will. That's okay. I'm good enough. find that middle point. We're not looking for the golden age, and we're not looking for the crap that looks for the golden age. We're just sitting in the middle. Everything is hunky-dory.
But this is where I think you, when I hear this from you, and I hear it, when I switch the laptop off, I've really got to try and, like, hearing it.
Just remember that you don't have to try anymore. Remember, you don't have to try anymore. You're already okay. You're already okay. You're already there. You don't have to do anything to be okay. You're already okay. Just change your attitude that I'm okay.
Did the Buddha say that, though? Did he say we're all already there?
Well, I know that that's what the Zen masters will tell their students. I'm not sure that I've heard, I know of a place exactly where the Buddha says that, but he says a whole lot of stuff like that.
Mm.
Like Dukkha Nirodha is right here, right now.
Yeah.
In other words, stop having the thoughts that you're not okay, because you already are okay. So he didn't put it in that particular language. He spoke a different language. But that was the point. You're already okay. Why are you striving?
Yeah.
When you're not going to get what you're striving for.
But if, okay, but if.
In fact, you could say that, that in fact, in the classical definition of dukkha, wanting something you don't have, that's dukkha. When you stop wanting stuff, and when you have the idea you're already okay, that means that you don't want anything. So yeah, I would say we're pretty well directly. That's what the Buddha said.
But if we're already okay, it's not enough to then to navigate through society, because, you know, in order
to... Well, you can navigate through society being good enough. When is it ever mandatory or necessary for you to navigate through society and feel bad?
Yeah.
Why can't you navigate through society and feel good? Then, in fact, when you get really good at it, you can say, hey, I've been there, I've done that. I've navigated all I need to navigate through society. I don't have to prove myself anymore. I can navigate myself to an easy chair.
Honestly, my goal, if from the first time I saw you, Dhammaratno, my goal is to get somewhere to where you're at.
Just chill. Don't try to get where I am. You're already good enough. If you keep wanting something that you don't have, you'll continue to want something you don't have.
Mm.
Desiring to be chill is not the same thing as chilling. Oh, I've got enough. Oh, Dhammaratno, he's just chilling. I'll chill too.
But is there anything wrong in indulging in pleasures? Is there, like, when I say that, like, listening to music?
Indulging in pleasures means that you're looking for something. If you don't want anything, then indulging in pleasures is, yeah, okay. I can indulge in nothing at all and get just as much pleasure out of indulging in sensual pleasures.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, go to the brothel. Been there, done that.
Yeah.
Wow, I've been to a brothel, and what a lot of work it is. I mean, there's a lot of ripping off and cheating, and you got to stay awake after, otherwise she's going to go through your pants.
But it was like today, right? Today was in Melbourne, was a beautiful day. I'm in the car, and I'm going, you know, I feel like going for a run. So I went for a run. Now, and I felt good afterwards.
Okay. So there's that's nothing, all there is to it. Yeah, there's nothing to it.
But aren't I now?
But when you got tired, you quit running, and then you're okay too.
Mm.
A lot of people think running is the thing to do, and so they run and run and run and run and run themselves out. Do what you like to do as long as it's enjoyable, and when it becomes not enjoyable, stop doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being bored. When you get tired and frustrated with being bored, then stop being bored.
Stop being bored.
Yeah, stop being bored. Just relax instead. Oh, I'm already okay. I don't have to be bored. Because bored is actually a kind of restlessness.
Yeah.
A worry. Of trying to think of something to do in order to feel good. In fact, you already feel good enough.
Yeah. Hey, on a last note, were you studying the same time as Achin Sumedho?
In fact, I met Achin Sumedho before he was an Achin.
Yeah, wow.
I met him at what? Suwon Mok. That's where I met Achin Sumedho.
And there's another
there with Achin Cha visiting my teacher Bhikkhu Buddhadasa. A lot of people don't know that, but Achin Cha considered himself a student of Bhikkhu Buddhadasa, and he brought many of his students to Bhikkhu Buddhadasa.
Yeah. Was it in Thailand? Wasn't there three? There was three of them. They called them the three lions of the Dharma.
Actually, that was in southern Thailand.
Oh, okay.
There were more lions than that.
Yeah. And Achin Sumedho, he's one of the original Western Thai monks, isn't he? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's some that are, have been in the robes longer. I wouldn't call them senior or superior to Achin Sumedho. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Because he often taught him, he teaches a meditation technique about listening to the sound of silence or something.
Listen to what's happening. You got no place to go, just listen to it. But you can't hear the silence while you're busy.
Hmm.
You can't hear the silence while you're making noise.
Yeah. I came to this point about 10 years ago. I'd gone through so many different meditation techniques. I just dropped them all. And I haven't meditated for now 13 years. I used to go to a lot of retreats. Both Tibetan, Theravadan, and then I just got so confused.
Well, that's because you wanted something.
I wanted
you
bliss.
Get to the state. Yeah, you wanted something that you didn't have.
Yeah.
Instead of looking for something just good enough, something you're satisfied with. That's what dukkha nirodha means, is getting out of your state of dissatisfaction. And Westerners are instead looking for the peak, looking for the bliss, looking for the high point. Guess what? You can't stay on Mount Everest at the peak. No one spends the night at the peak of Mount Everest. You can't even pitch a tent. It's a point.
Mm.
Nobody stays there. Everybody comes back to the base camp.
So you're saying I wanted something. I was seeking something
that you didn't have. Yeah, you were looking for something you didn't have, instead of just being pleasant and satisfied with what you've got already.
But what I didn't have was contentment.
Right. So go get some contentment. How do you get contentment? Is by stop wanting all of the stuff you don't have and being content with that which you do have.
Yeah.
And that's a hard lesson to learn. for Westerners especially, because they've been taught to strive for their whole lives.
But don't people in Thailand and Sri Lanka, aren't they always striving to get out of their, you know, poverty?
Not so much. Not so much. Thai people are much more laid back and satisfied with what they have. They're much more of a middle path. They're much closer to the middle path than Americans.
Wow. So with all the technology and all the intellectualism, it doesn't make any difference.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't advance your goals.
Mm-mm. No. A child playing with a cell phone can get just as much enjoyment or the same amount as the child who was playing with a little wooden toy truck that was carved out of wood.
Yeah.
One's more complicated than the other, but the child is satisfied and happy with what he's got. And the kid who has a cell phone may not, in fact, be satisfied. He's playing that game, and he's not good enough at it, to where the little boy with the wooden truck zoom. He's satisfied with that.
Is this why, you know, the story of Ananda, Buddha's closest disciple? Ananda? Yeah, and when, you know, apparently he kept striving and striving to be enlightened. And then, I don't know if this is correct, but I think after the Buddha died, they had the first council.
They wouldn't let him in.
They wouldn't let him in because he hadn't reached that goal yet. But then he's...
Because he still wanted stuff. He wanted in, for one thing. Another thing was that he had a lot of magical beliefs.
Ah. But didn't he drop them all? Like he went to bed?
Yeah,
and then...
finally enough of that.
Yeah. All right.
So he could have done that 10 or 15 years sooner. But he strived that, in fact, the way that it was set up was that he was important in his own mind because he was the Buddha's attendant. And the Buddha kept his promises to Ananda.
Yeah.
That he had never sent Ananda away. But after the Buddha died, he couldn't keep that promise. And so it kind of all came crashing in. It's sort of like a big storm just wipes away that shoreline. Yeah. All of that defense structure just...
Because he was so dependent on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He was working too hard, and now he quit.
Yeah.
And you can quit too.
Well, what about the mortgage? I can't. I know. I know what you mean. Don't, you know, it's good enough. I've got to learn to accept things are good enough, be content, and just...
How many people have trouble making a mortgage and they still want a bigger house? So now they've got two troubles. Three, in fact. They've got the mortgage. They've got the house that they've got that they have to take care of. In fact, the way to look at a house is that once you buy it, it owns you.
Yeah, you're trapped.
Yeah, you're stuck with it. When it has a toilet problem, guess who's got to fix it?
Mm.
You're it.
Yeah.
Along that same line, this started years ago, but it's true today, is that somebody will say, is that your dog? And the answer is no, I'm its human. It owns me. I don't own the dog.
Yeah.
I'm the dog's servant. I got to scratch the dog and bathe the dog and feed the dog and take the ticks off of the dog. The dog's just fine.
But there must be it. Okay, no, I'm just thinking that, you know, when you can let go of some of these worldly things, it must be a little bit easier getting to that state where you just feel
right. Well, yeah. The way to deal with the mortgage is not when the payment is due. The way to deal with the mortgage is when you have thoughts of the payment that's due and say, aha, I don't have to make that payment right now. I'm okay right now. And just relax.
Yeah.
How many times in the month do you make that mortgage payment and feel bad? When in fact you only have to make the mortgage payment once a month.
My father, he was academically a very bright person, but he was so stressed financially. And he had a heart attack and passed away when he was 42.
Yeah, money stresses people out.
And I catch myself going down the same road, and I just don't want to do it. Like, you know, I just don't want to go there. It's like,
yeah,
it's really not. Yeah.
Yeah, don't be afraid of money. You can lay down beside it and go to sleep. There's nothing to money. Everybody wants it. That's why they're stressed out. They don't have enough of it. They want more of it. They don't know how to manage it. The fact is that if you don't spend any money, you'll be wealthy.
Yeah.
So don't buy anything. That's a little bit too late for that mortgage. You've already got that.
Three children as well. I'm right in the world of samsara.
Well, can you do that happily?
That's what I'm trying to. That is what I want to achieve.
Okay, so whenever thoughts of the kids come up, you can say, "Oh, never mind, they're okay." And thoughts about the house, never mind, it's okay. The toilet is stopped up. Let the kids deal with it. They're the ones who want it unstopped. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll unstop it when I have fun unstopping it.
Because I look at my father, and he was so busy, stressed out with work and finances. It was very difficult for him to be present with me. And even when he was physically present with me, mentally he wasn't, because he was just so stressed all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to be that. But like, I've seen it. I just don't want to go down that road. I just want to be chill.
Well, every time those thoughts come up, the kind of thoughts that your dad was pestered with constantly, when those thoughts come up, say, I don't have to think about that right now. I could just relax instead. Spend a lot more time thinking about relaxing and just relax.
Yeah.
Be comfortable. Be safe, secure, comfortable, relaxed, and satisfied. You keep doing that and you'll become wealthy.
Yeah.
You'll become safe and secure and comfortable and satisfied. You'll become successful. You keep being successful over and over and over again, and you'll become wealthy. And wealthy in this regard is a feeling of being wealthy.
Yeah.
That you've got enough, got plenty of money.
Yeah.
But that's an attitude change. You can, in fact, have less actual money and be much more satisfied. That money doesn't make people satisfied and successful. Money makes people uptight,
yeah,
insecure, wanting more and more.
And if you don't catch the thought, if you don't catch the thought, it spirals, mm-hmm, and you start, before you know it, you're sitting there going, I wish I had more money. I wish we could do more things, but it's just your thoughts.
And you can have happy thoughts instead. Wow, I'm glad I don't have to think about money. Well, I'm glad I don't have to think about money. Money is not an issue, is not a problem. When I do think about it, I think about it, oh, I'm so successful at that. Never mind.
Yeah. I'm all right, Nick. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, we'll see you later, Ross.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try and get on these calls, these Sangha calls. Okay. When's the next one?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
At 4 p.m. That will, in Melbourne time, that's probably 6 or 8 or something like that in the evening.
So do you send an invite through Discord or
is no, it's just an open call. If you're on the group, the UK Sangha, you'll get a ring.
Okay. Yeah,
if you're on YouTube, you can click, and in the comments, there's a click place for the Sangha UK. You just click on that, and it'll put you in the group.
Because I think when I tried this morning, I got in. You saw me as a guest user.
Well, you got in, didn't you?
Yeah, I got in.
You can get into the other group, too.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, well, we'll see you.
All right. Thank you, Dharma Ratno.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day. See ya. Bye.
You have a wonderful moment.
I will. I am.